Dear colleagues, I'm Christoph Diener, a neurologist from the Department of Neurology at the University of Essen in Germany. And today I would like to tell you what has happened in neurology in February of 2018. I would like to start with Parkinson's disease. The early STIM study was published in the New England Journal of Medicine 2 years ago. And this was a randomized trial performed in France and Germany. And this trial included 251 patients with Parkinson's disease and early motor complications. And the patients were randomized to best medical care or best medical care plus bilateral subthalamic deep brain stimulation. In terms of motor outcomes, deep brain stimulation was clearly superior to best medical treatment. A predefined subgroup analysis or secondary analysis now looked at behavioral outcomes in terms of behavior, apathy, and depression in these two patient groups. And this was published in Lancet Neurology. The group of patients who received deep brain stimulation clearly had improved behavior, in particular in hyperdopaminergic behavior. There was a trend for improvement of comorbid depression, which was not significant. For migraine, we have an exciting study published in Brain. The investigators performed MR spectroscopy in patients with chronic migraine, with episodic migraine, and healthy control. And they measured N-acetyl aspartate, which is an important biomarker for the integrity of neural systems. And they found reduced N-acetyl aspartate in patients with chronic migraine in the thalamus, in the occipital cortex, in the anterior cingulate cortex. Now, these are all brain structures which have to do with pain transmission and the emotional parts of pain perception. And this would indicate, say, chronic migraine biologically is different from episodic migraine. Alzheimer's disease, a major challenge is to identify patients with the beginning of the disease and include them in randomized trials for treatment. Now, the gold standard is amyloid PET, and there was a group in Japan which published a new way to measure biomarkers in serum. That group is from Japan, and what they did was high-performance plasma amyloid beta immunoprecipitation with mass spectroscopy. And this was much more sensitive than the usual way to measure this biomarker in serum. And they validated this new method with two populations who received amyloid PET. So this will make it much easier in future to identify patients for treatment trials. There were two exciting papers in the New England Journal of Medicine about the treatment of septic shock. The two studies compared glucocorticoids versus placebo. And the study from New Zealand included 3,800 patients and used hydrocortisone compared to placebo. But this trial was negative for mortality, which was about 40%. But it was superior for the resolution of shock symptoms and the time on ventilation. The French study included 1,401 patients, and they were treated with hydrocortisone or fludrocortisone or placebo, and they found a reduced mortality at ICU discharge and at day 180. Now, even the editorial in the New England Journal of Medicine has a little bit difficulty to explain the mortality outcome between the two trials, but the bottom line is that most probably we should use glucocorticoids in patients with septic shock. There was an interesting publication in Neurology dealing with smoking and multiple sclerosis. The Danish Multiple Sclerosis Biobank identified 834 patients who were treated with beta interferon for relapsing remitting multiple sclerosis. And they found that patients who smoked had a 20% higher relapse rate than non-smokers. And this result has clear implications how we talk to our MS patients. The last study is from JAMA Neurology. About 14 years ago, the FDA issued a warning that triptans should not be taken together with serotonin reuptake inhibitors because of the risk of the so-called serotonin syndrome. So the US investigators looked at prescriptions in the Boston area in a period of 14 years, and they identified almost 48,000 patients who received a prescription for a triptan for migraine, and 19,000 patients at the same time received a prescription for an SSRI. At the end of the day, when they looked at hospital admissions, they identified two cases of confirmed serotonin syndrome. And this translates to 0.6 cases per 10,000 patient years. And I think this clearly shows there is no risk of serotonin syndrome if a patient takes a triptan who is on an SSRI. Ladies and gentlemen, interesting results from Parkinson's disease, from migraine, from Alzheimer's disease, MS, and critical care medicine. I'm Christoph Diener, a neurologist at the University of Essen in Germany. Thank you very much for listening.